We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, we're right back to it. Bitsy and Hart on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Wait, was this the intro song for... Was this OMF's intro song?
Oh.
No, there was a show at the station that definitely used to use this as a intro song. I love it. Just give me some good throwback happy vibes. Some happy squeals there, Joe Braverman. Great job. You and Jerry, Jared, Joe, John, JoJo, Jermaine, Arnaud.
Jacob.
Javon.
Javon. You know what? Actually, no. That's it. We're calling him Javon from now on. It's
that,
Jacob.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, 100%. We've got Javon, the PA, and the co-producer in the other room with Joe Braverman. We are having us a time right now. Andy, who aside from New England, I'll get back to the calls in just a minute here as we get into hour number three. It has been all NFL draft. Day three has been dynamic. Excuse me, because of the spark that has been. I had a little gas there. Sorry. I was drinking a Coke Zero during the break. You ever have one of those, like, you try to suppress a little expulsion, and then it comes out the nose, and it's like, oh, my nose is burning. That hurts.
Oh, yeah.
I should have just turned my microphone off and burped, because...
You don't ever want to hold things in. No, holding them in is bad. Bad, bad, bad.
It's not as bad as it... Now, there's no feeling... There's popsicle headaches, when you get the brain freeze. My God. Oh, it's the worst.
You know how to get rid of it?
Actually, I don't, and I could have used your help a few weeks ago, because... At Rich Keefe's behest, I went to a Wendy's with my two boys, and I got the orange Dreamsicle Frosty.
Was it good?
A good? Andy, it immediately skyrocketed. It's, they're great! Holy smokes. This thing skyrocketed into my top 10 beverages and top 10 frozen treats of all time. I mean, it's off the charts good.
I'm going to have to try it.
I would recommend today. I imagine you're probably, there's could be lawn mowing, Miller Lite drinking, sports watching, whatever going on for you tonight. If you get a chance, get in the Heartmobile, find a Wendy's. There's probably one near you. Get one. Get the kids one too. They'll love it.
What am I just made of money? I'm just handing out freaking Frosties.
Does Mrs. Hart enjoy a sweet treat every now and again?
Yeah. She's not a huge sweets person. We're more of a.
Yeah, you guys are all fit.
Yeah, we're fit, but we're also, we like, when we splurge, we like to do the wings and the salty,
the savory
cheeseburgers.
Same.
Yeah.
I would normally go for a really well-made bowl of popcorn, we'll say, nachos or even a box of Cheez-Its before I would go for something sweet. However,
yeah, my wife is a little weird. She'll have for like a snack at like 8:45, she'll get a bowl of just plain salted potato chips. I find it strange, but she likes it.
What's wrong with that? My kid'll just power through a bag of salt and vinegar chips like it's nobody's business.
Salt and vinegar, different. And then your tongue hurts.
Yeah, salt and vinnies, we call them around the house. I'll always have a strange affection for them for that particular purpose. But I wanted to ask you, so the New England Patriots, we feel, have had, solid pick. Pick 140, round 5. Chargers are having a good draft, and this leads into my next question. The Chargers at 140, round 5, took cornerback Cam Hart from Notre Dame.
Ooh.
That's a value pick right there. Chargers are having a solid, solid draft. You should have expected in his first draft that Jim Harbaugh would have a really solid utilitarian draft and address positions of need all over both sides of the ball for the Chargers, but he's good. Good and, pick.
And he needs to, because they have some cap issues, so they need an injection of talent that is cost-effective for a few years here as he kind of puts his imprint on the culture, but also the finances of that football team. I'll tell you, and I think this is where you were going, so I'll answer the question before you even ask it. I like what the Jets have done. Fashanu adding
dude.
An elite tackle, and then Corley, I love. I said it to you yesterday, just the ability to fit in where he gets in as a jack-of-all-trades, Debo, light, receiver, weapon thing that I think Aaron Rodgers. And I like Braylon Allen. I liked him as a running back possibility for the Patriots. You put him with Breece Hall. You add maybe a little bit of a thunder and lightning thing in New York there. I think they've had a nice draft.
I only knew about Braylon Allen because a friend who was on Wisconsin fan quote tweeted it and just wrote, "I want to die," because she's a Patriots fan. That's a tough one. I know. The Pats will hopefully get a good running back, but it's not going to be the Louisville burner. He went to San Francisco. It's not going to be Braylon Allen. He's now a member of the Jets. But it's funny. It's almost like you're reading the prep or comps that I'm making over here in the studio for you, because I was going to ask, aside from the Patriots, who have now juiced up their draft, didn't have Mel Kiper or anyone's favorite day two, but their day three has been pretty solid thus far, especially with Javon Baker. Who else do you think is having a good draft? I was going to lead with, once again, I feel like the Jets are having a good draft.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, I also put in that category. You know, I think that Troy Fatanu, their offensive lineman, tackle, guard, kick-ass, Logan Mankins type player.
Oh,
that
from a great line in Washington. Yes, sir.
Great line in Washington to a perfect place in Pittsburgh where they will be drawn to his play style. I like Peyton Wilson. They got a linebacker in the third round who's a stud out of NC State. He's almost like an old school Mike Vrabel Patriots type linebacker to some degree. And they took Roman Wilson in the third round. I think they could use a guy like Roman Wilson at receiver. They've been talented, but like, I don't know if toxic is the right word. But
No, that's actually a good point. Deontay Johnson, who punched Mitch Trubisky allegedly a few years ago, needed to get the F out of there. He and George Pickens were competing for wide receiver one. Now it's Pickens' receiver room. And they get a high character guy who can also burn in Roman Wilson. And
I think they
I'm
need
sure
a receiver.
Harbaugh would have loved him too.
He's a receiver that can be the adult in the room. Maybe is the vibe I get from Roman Wilson. So I think that's really good for them. Now, who knows what the quarterback situation turns out there, and that's all that will really matter for them. But I like the kind of culture setting draft that they are having in Pittsburgh.
Ah, massive, really, really good draft. And yes, the Fatanu kid out of Washington, that was a sneaky, great offensive line. Washington deserved to be in the national championship last year. Look at Penix, the three receivers, offensive linemen, like Kalen DeBoer gets the Alabama job. Like, that was a damn good football team. And they're all going to be playing with or against each other for many, many years to come.
Can we go on the contrary and say maybe who's had the worst?
Oh, Panthers have had a good draft, too. Who do you believe has had the... Of course we can. It's sports radio.
I think this one should be easy. It should
be
Atlanta.
Two. We were going to do it together.
That's what I was going to do. Let's try it. Let's try it
Atlanta?
Again.
No, it's too late. You already
said
it.
Okay, second worst.
You ruined the fun. I don't know. The obvious
Actually,
one was
Andy,
Atlanta
according
first.
To a 617 texter, I ruined the fun. We were about to hear how to get rid of the ice cream headache, and as usual, Fitzy interrupted and wouldn't shut up. I apologize, 617 texter. I apologize,
agree.
Audience. Shut up, Andy. And I apologize, Andy. Would you please, before we get back to the texts, the calls, and analysis, would you please share your remedy for the ice cream headache?
You, and this is not dirty in any way, so if it sounds dirty or whatever, it isn't. You rub your tongue vigorously across the top of your mouth and create warmth, which then radiates up into your brain and makes you feel better, because it is indeed the lower portion of your brain that gets cold, brain freeze. So if you lick real hard up there, well, it goes away.
All right, save that drop, number one. And number two, there's a nerve located between the roof of your mouth and your nose that basically gets numbed, and then that radiates the pain straight up to your brain.
Right, so lick it, and it'll go away.
All right, that's two drops, please, Joe. Andy, thank
lick
you for
it,
the...
Lick it, and you'll feel better.
Jeez.
What?
We can fill the last hour.
Oh, my God. There, 617 texter. Are you happy? You lick it, and you feel better. There you go. And I apologize. The flurry of text messages... Very aggressive text messages telling me how dare I forget, do better Fitzy, blah, blah, blah. That was the intro song to the great Dale and Hawley show.
Okay. I did not
recall
that.
I apologize, everybody. And yes, I'm having a Coke Zero. I'm not allowed to Barry Narragansett's in the studio at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'd love to, but that's not the way it goes. No, we are not at Fenway today. We are broadcasting from our fabulous studios at the Dumpy Little Building in Brighton over on Leo M. What do we think of the wide receiver taken at 34? Ladd McConkey, he's great. I wanted him on the Patriots. We took somebody at 37. That would be Jalen Polk. There was a comp shared in terms of like the relative athletic score, all the measurables. Somebody pointed out that he may be, and this would be interesting because this guy was traded for in Cleveland where the Wolf was before he made his way to New England. Timing may not work out, but could Jalen Polk be Amari Cooper-esque?
Sure. I mean, I think Javon Polk, did you? Wait, who'd you say? Jalen Polk or
Jalen Polk. Baker? Jalen Polk.
No, I'm not sure he's as athletic as Cooper is. Actually, I'm sure he's not. He doesn't feel as athletic to me. But I think he can be a good receiver. I think he can be a good, productive receiver. I don't the Odunze was their big guy, like, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was their number
he's
one. So.
Great hands, size, speed, badass blocker as well. Yeah. Like, everything you would want in a wide receiver one.
But do you believe Polk will be or could be a number one receiver? Who do you think has a better chance to be a number one receiver, Baker or Polk?
Baker.
Yeah, me too.
So long as he can keep his head straight and the attitude.
Okay, let me ask a different question. Who do you feel more certain will be on the Patriots in 2 years, Baker or Polk?
Jalen Polk.
Okay, and that's the risk-reward, and that's the highs, the lows. That's the balance that GMs have to – but I agree with you. I think there is probably more upside and star power potential with Baker, and I think there's a better chance that Polk is here for a longer period of time as a core contributor to the offense on some level.
Gotcha. It's not a bad take, strong take, quality take. Chase Daniel does a great job on the QB breakdown. 6 quarterbacks here on Twitter. You can give him a follow at Chase Daniel. Made a lot of money not playing quarterback in the NFL. Good on him. 6 quarterbacks in the first 12 picks of the draft. 0 have been taken since. Tells you a lot about how these teams view the rest of the QB class.
I thought Spencer Rattler was the best quarterback
in
the class.
Now there's a whole big thing going on about this. Teams are judging Spencer Rattler on a reality show he did in high school. Come on, he's matured, and he's a damn good player. And then Ian Rappaport went on the NFL Network, quote, "It did not make him look great, and it is unbelievable how many different teams mentioned to me the image of him in that reality show and how they can't get it out of their heads." Did you see any of this reality show?
I did not.
I knew nothing of it. It didn't bother Lincoln Riley. It didn't bother anyone at South Carolina.
I didn't even know he was on a reality show.
Well, a lot of these guys are those QB documentaries in high school. I remember watching the one.
So what? He was on Road Rules, whatever.
Early one. What was the kid? He went to Ohio State, and then he really flamed out. He bounced around. He was at Miami. But there's a whole crew of them. That's interesting, though, that people hold that against him, whatever it is now, 4 or 5 years later. And multiple schools, goes to Oklahoma, goes to South Carolina, everything. I don't think he's that good. Like, it isn't as much about the personality or the way he handled himself in some documentary. When I see Spencer Rattler, I do not see an NFL franchise quarterback. But the flip side of that is, as a former NFL draft scout, that guy on Twitter loves him, thinks he's a first-round pick, would have taken him as the number one quarterback in this draft, so he does have some advocates out there.
He does indeed.
Just not enough with NFL teams, apparently.
Yeah, that's the problem. Maybe he'll be one of those comeback stories where he gets drafted late and has to prove it. We'll see if he actually talks about
the Rattler 6.
Coming soon to a football channel near you. 617-779-7937. That's your telephone number. When we come back, a little bit of playoff talk. We'll take a quick respite from the NFL draft. Your calls are welcome on that and anything else, but we'll talk a little Celtics Heat. Some Bruins Leafs. We're here with you till a little after 3, and here with you for a couple minutes now to tell you what's going on in the wide world of sports. That's Joe Braverman.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I understand they want to use both guys, and it will come a time for them to use Linus, but not right now. I think just write it out, and then, listen, if they go with Linus now and he doesn't win, then you add even more pressure on Swayman to come back with an even better performance in the following game. Plus, you add a lot of pressure on Linus to put him in today's game because Swayman's been playing so well. To me, it doesn't make sense if I just think mentally how it would feel as a goalie to step in now after what Swayman has done.
Former NHL goaltender extraordinaire Henrik Lundqvist, who I believe does some analytical work now for...
That was on the TNT pregame.
It was on the TNT pregame. Okay, excellent. Does a fine job there. Also, handsome devil. Got to tell you honestly. What is up with goalies always being so handsome?
Their face is protected.
Call into Sunday Skate tomorrow. Ask Razor.
Razor's a very good looking
man. Razor's a good looking dude.
He is.
Absolutely.
Like, more often than not, goalies are good looking dudes.
Is that a fact?
I think so. It's my opinion.
I've never really thought about it and done research.
Who's the most handsome goaltender out there?
Swayman's a good... Yeah, who's that? You know what? Go right ahead.
Tim Thomas. Was he a handsome fellow?
Actually, kind of a rugged handsome guy.
Yeah. Oh, rugged handsome. Okay, yep. Okay.
Tuca was cute.
What about... was he? Tuca's not my style.
All right. You have a type?
Apparently.
Reggie Lemelin. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Andy Moog. Yeah, all those guys.
Well, this is sort of that old theory that franchise quarterbacks had to be attractive. And the New York Times actually did a research about they had model-like features for a long time. And
really?
Their faces were symmetrical and leadership and blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of gone away over the years. But maybe there's something to this. Maybe.
Yeah, Andy, we already know your type.
If you lick real hard up there, well, it goes away. Excuse me?
Text from the 401. Jalen Polk is a souped-up Jacoby Myers.
Well, yeah, everybody's making that comparison. I hope that's not true in a way. Like,
what 83 catches for 950 yards and a couple touchdowns? I'll take
well, I
that.
Mean, an undrafted guy compared to a second round pick. Like, that's.
But we came to learn Jacoby Myers obviously should have been drafted and he should have never left town as well. We're not here for the referendum on that. But.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, when they both. The only place you can compare them is when they entered the league. And one entered the league as an undrafted guy and one enters the league as a second round pick. So I'm expecting more out of Polk because he's a second-round pick. That's the way it works. If he has if he struggles to find the end zone, it won't be a funny story. It was a cute story for Jacoby Myers. You know what it'll be for Polk? Bust.
Yeah, sad.
Like, right?
Yeah.
Same story, yep. But the perception will be different.
Before we get back to the hockey talk real
also
quick.
Also remember real
yeah.
quick, sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine.
The N'Keal Harry benefited Jacoby Myers because he got to do everything that – like, Myers sucked, and it was like, hey, this other guy's better. This other guy's way better. I remember saying it in August of their rookie year
Same.
That Jacoby Myers would have a much better NFL career than N'Keal Harry. It was obvious. So he benefited from having the guy with high expectations fall on his face. Now the guy with high expectations is the second-round pick.
Yeah. I remember saying at the time, too, that I thought Jacoby Myers was going to be a better player as well. Big hands, didn't drop anything. Too bad he didn't catch on a little quicker with Brady. But that said, things have worked out for him. Heck of a football player. A lot of people say he's still wildly underrated, even though he got paid with the Raiders. Before we get to the hockey talk and who you'd like to see in goal tonight, and we'll make our predictions for Bees and Leafs, let's clean up the football talk. Rob's in Minnesota. He wants to weigh in on Javon Baker. What up, Rob?
I never thought on hold that I'd be thinking about an orange creamsicle frosty. Just interesting. So thank you for that.
Hey, it's the least I could do, Rob. It's the least I could do. That's sports radio on a Saturday for you, brother.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, no. So first, my Pray for May handles on the socials worked.
Very, very psyched about Drake. I am a UCF alumni, so I'm pretty psyched about the Baker pick.
Yep.
I didn't know much about Jalen Polk. I think he looked pretty solid. I mean, he was on a national, you know, championship contending team. That's great. I'm very worried about the tackle position still. So hopefully we can find somebody that's still out on the market, or I don't know if there's any left in the draft. And just real last, because I know we have a big night with the C's and the B's. I hate this Swayman Allmark back and forth thing. I think that it removes all common sense, logic, and strategy. And obviously, Swayman's an absolute stone cold killer against the Leafs. I don't get it. I don't agree with it. And I think it's just overanalyzation, paralysis by overanalysis, and hoping they can get ahead still in that series. No idea what the hell the Celtics, you know, that was just a rough. I think that was an anomaly to have Drew Holiday and Unicorn and a bunch of people just have an off night that was that bad. So hopefully we can clean this up quick, because the cockroach Miami Heat scare the living hell out of me, and I don't want to see any more of them.
All right, Rob, thank you very much for the call. Andy, so about the goalie rotation, it is a very interesting choice. Goalie Bob and Monty are going to have to make here. The only line we got about it, I heard earlier, Swayman was out in net at practice, but he was in the visitor's net. And so people were on, Ken and Curtis were trying to parse out, what does that mean? Does that mean he's the backup tonight? And Linus between us is going to be the starter tonight. Are they sticking with their rotation? That was the one line we got from Monty. The plan is to stick with the rotation that they've established, or the plan is to stick with the plan, or something like that. It was very vague. So if I had to guess, I think you're going to see Linus Ullmark in net tonight. And I'm going to go out there on an edge, on a limb, and I'm going to say that he's going to play his ass off and he's going to win tonight. And I think the Bruins win tonight. It'll be Ullmark. And, you know, if this ends up on freezing cold takes tomorrow, fine. That's okay. I'm a big boy. I can handle the smoke or the cold. I just have a strange feeling that he's going to have maybe like his best game. I know he hasn't been a stud for the Bruins in the postseason. He's got a pretty bad record. His goals against average is like 3.5 in the postseason, which is rough. He didn't play that poorly in game two. Obviously, Swayman has just owned. He's been the daddy to the Leafs this year. But I think they're sticking with the rotation, and I'm expecting, rather than to just go with like, oh, great, here comes Ullmark. He's going to stink tonight, and we're all going to be on. We should have started Swayman, and the lines will be full tomorrow on the Sunday skate. No, I think it's going to be a surprise performance. I just got a hunch. Sometimes you just got to go with the gut. I got a hunch that Linus is going to be one of the stars of the game tonight for the Bees.
You got a hunch, I got a tweet.
Ullmark has a lot to prove, I mean, in my opinion, in the playoffs.
Who's that?
It's Jacob.
It's Javon.
No, Ullmark,
I'm getting interrupted by people I don't even know who they are.
Sorry about that. Sorry for interrupting, but I just think that Ullmark has a lot to prove in the playoffs, and I really think that it would be a huge mistake to go to him in this game, so to disagree there.
Oh, yeah? Really? Okay, well, obviously, you know, the numbers, the metrics back up Swayman. Who would I start? Swayman, of course. I would have just gone with a single goalie.
No, you can't cover your bases. I'm not letting you say who.
I'm giving Ullmark the benefit of the doubt, and I think he's going to have a good game tonight. It's just a hunch. However, who would I have started? Swayman, of course. But
I'd start Swayman. Swayman's starting, according to Rich Keefe. Before anybody interrupts me again, I just want to get out there. Scoops Keefe says Swayman is starting, and I believe Rich Keefe's hockey sources.
Yeah, so do I, considering that he had the pasta deal way before anyone else did.
It's the Scoops obvious Keith. Decision. It's the right decision. Like, don't overthink it. Don't F it up. Do what you need to do to beat the Leafs. And part of what you need to do to beat the Leafs is play Swayman. I started a new hashtag the other night on draft night because hashtag take Drake worked so well. Stay Sway. Hashtag stay with Swayman. Ride him. He is your best chance at having that marquee franchise goalie in a postseason. He's trying to be him, and I want him to be him. And according to Rich Keefe, he is him tonight.
How about that? Scoops Keefe coming in. How about, Rich, look at you. How about that? It's going to be the Sway Dog tonight, the old Sway Man. Swayzerino. There it is right there. Scoops. Jeremy Swayman will start game four tonight.
But now here's the contradictory part of it, is if he plays and they lose, it's 2-2.
That's the
what
thing.
Do you do?
See, if Ullmark starts tonight, If Ullmark starts tonight and they don't win, it's like, well, obviously, you know, Linus still just doesn't have his postseason mojo. We're going to play Swayman in game five, and we'll play him the rest of the way. If Swayman plays tonight, all of a sudden, you know, who's it, Nylander, who's back for the Toronto? I know Austin Matthews has been ill. I think he's going to be a go, but he could be less than 100%. Let's say Toronto just has a shoot-the-lights-out Saturday. I don't even think Swayman's given up, like, an honest-to-God goal. I think they've all been, like, rebounds, crazy puck bounces. Like, he's been a wall in there for them. If he loses tonight, just saying, going on the Braverman principle here, Andy, you know, well, Swayman gives up four goals tonight, bad game, they lose 4-1. Does that shake your confidence in him going forward for game five? And then does Monty have a reactionary start of Ullmark, or do you just stick with the plan and it's Swayman the rest of the way?
If he loses 4-1, it absolutely shakes my confidence. That's the way it works. When you play poorly, I wonder if you're going to continue to play poorly. I don't think that's going to happen. I think you have to go with your hot hand. And I agree with you, Fitzy. Like, I don't think Ullmark was bad. Like, you didn't lose because of Ullmark, but you lost with Ullmark, right? Like, that mm-hmm. was part of the combination. But I just think for the purposes of this series with Swayman's dominance over the Leafs, and it's also for me, and this may not be a correct aspect here, I have wanted since basically the All-Star break, I wanted them to trade Ullmark, and I know they kind of mm-hmm. wanted to trade Ullmark too, and he put an end to that. I think their best chance to go as far as possible is Swayman, is for Swayman to ascend to the crown of he's our goalie. He, like, no more questions. We have a number one goalie. We have a young franchise goalie. Swayman is that guy. And I think this is another step to potentially getting in that direction. And I know over the second half of the season, they were both pretty good. Ullmark was better. Swayman wasn't as good. But I think this is an opportunity to, you know how they kind of create their storylines mm-hmm. in WWE? And, like, there's little pieces along the way where they're building up a character so that he's then ready. We're looking for next year's WrestleMania so he can main event it. I feel like tonight is a Raw performance, Monday Night Raw, but on a Saturday, where Swayman can take that next step. You're helping build the character that is Swayman and your franchise goalie.
Yeah.
By God, that's Jeremy Swayman.
And his music.
Is that Swayman's music?
And then he can hug Ullmark after the game, and everybody's happy.
And Ullmark, you know, seems like the kind of guy who would do what's in the best interest of the team, except, of course, when he's told that he's being traded to Jersey, and then he exercises his no-trade clause. You should stick with him. Scoops Keefe says it's going to be the case. Text line says definitely play Swayman. Oh, look at this. Andy, do you have a 978 burner phone?
I don't.
Text from the 978. Happy Sattersway.
Ooh, Sattersway, I like it.
Ooh.
I like it.
All right, 508, play Swaymark. All right, that's enough. That's enough out of you. Hush up, as Matt Judon says on Twitter to people that clap at him. Hush up now. Oh, did you see that? Oh, another text, Randy. 207, Johnny Unitas. Now, there was a good-looking quarterback.
That's very random. What's the age of that person?
Speaking of the 207, up to Maine we go. Line one, Jason, what up?
Hey, guys, how we doing?
How are you, buddy?
Not too bad. 15, normally I do not disagree with you, mm-hmm. but that has to be the worst take of this decade with going with Ullmark. He's had 2 years, mm-hmm. 2 years to prove mm-hmm. that he could be the man. He's like the Peyton Manning of the NHL. He can win during the regular season and is horrible in the playoffs. He's 3-6
yeah,
with an ERA of 4 or greater. Horrible save percentage. All your analytics say go with Swayman, and mm-hmm. this organization is going to play this. Oh, well, we're going to do a rotation. What is wrong? What is going on here? This cannot happen. If you just watch the games, just the normal eye test tells you the Bruins play 10 times better in front of Swayman than they do Ullmark. Mm-hmm. With Ullmark in net, they're sitting back on their heels because they're afraid to make a mistake because they don't know if that guy in net can help them out because he's given up bad goals, soft goals over the last few years. With Swayman in net, these guys are like, hey, if I screw up, guess what? This kid's got my back and I'll be good to go. One goal against average for Swayman, three goals or higher just this year against Toronto. It's just absolutely ridiculous to even be having this conversation. And why is it every year there's some issue or circumstance with goalies with this organization going into the playoffs. Last year it was Ullmark was hurt. Mm-hmm. And we didn't start swimming until game seven. That's too much pressure to put on anybody, regardless if it's just a kid or a seasoned veteran, a 10-year veteran. There shouldn't be a discussion going into the playoffs. You play the hot goaltender, and going back to the last two games of the year that Swayman played, he is by far head and shoulders above Linus Ullmark. By far. Anyway, that's my take. You guys have a great day. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for giving us a call, and thanks for listening to us. And, Jason, I just want to let everyone know once again, it's not that I would start Ullmark. It's that I think they're going to start him. And I just had a hunch. That's it. But according to Scoops Keefe, it's going to be Swayman anyway. So that is a moot point, and that is now forgotten history in terms of sports radio. So there you go.
Wow, that was quick.
That was quick, yeah. Didn't even matter.
Something earlier this
By
second.
The way, it's not the worst take of the decade. I've heard worse, even from this morning.
I've heard worse from Fitzy.
I knew, never passes up Lots a chance to take a cheap shot at his old pal Fitzy.
Does that count as being negative?
No. I was positive about the Patriots. This is just Fitzy talk now. This is where it gets real. Fitzy's had some. That's not in the top 100 worst takes from Fitzy.
I cannot wait to read the book of Fitzy's terrible takes. You know what? And I apologize for none of them. And oft am I the one to say that I don't mind being the lone inhabitant of terrible or unpopular take island. 401 Texter, is anyone else annoyed that both the Bruins and the... Yes, that's the question. Always. That's his resting state, Texter. 401, anyone else annoyed that both the Bruins and the Celtics have already lost a game in their first round series? I am certainly not annoyed that the Bruins lost a game. It was a frustrating loss because the offense went to sleep for the final two periods, but these things happen, and I don't think that playing Swayman in that game would have made that much more of a difference. I do love the fact that Marshy got woken up in the last game. The Bear Dunn got poked. Let's hope he can keep that edge and attitude tonight after they have one extra day's rest. The Celtics game, however, that annoyed me. That one annoyed me. I got to be honest. That was, you lose a game, okay. Probably shouldn't. I was on these very airwaves last Sunday with our pal John Lyons, Andy, and I said,
that's a very popular show, that Fitzy and Lyons show.
It oh, yeah. 14% highly. Of people in the Chad Finn media poll said it was their favorite weekend show.
Yeah, polls very highly.
Mm-hmm. Poll this.
Poll righty.
Yeah, right. Poll righty then. Jay Lynn poll. So the point being, I had said, and now I can easily have this rubbed in my face, no reason the Celtics shouldn't sweep this series. Most were saying gentlemen sweep because they thought the Celtics would find a way to, you know, bunk up one game. The way that they lost, though, was a little jarring for me. Just a little disconcerting. Is that still stuck in your craw, or have you forgiven and forgotten, go out and win by 10 or more tonight and nobody cares?
Yeah, I think I'm fine with it. I just, the aberrational nature of the way that Miami shot the threes, like that, and we see that all the time. It's one of the things that makes the NCAA tournament great. It's why you have great upsets in March, the madness in those one-offs, is some team can hit 25 threes and not be the better team and win and advance. And you know what usually happens to that team in the next round? They lose because they can't hit 25 threes again. They can't go 50%, 55% from three-point range. So now, I didn't love it, and I know Scal was very worked up about the overall approach of the Celtics, the energy, the walking up the court, the fixation they had on some mismatches that they felt like in practice and in like meetings that they had decided they were going to take advantage of. And even if they weren't working early, oh, damn it, the scouting report said we're taking advantage of this matchup and we're going to do it and that's going to work. I don't think they played great. It wasn't just that the other team shot the lights out. I don't think they pulled a Belichick. Like, when the game declared itself, as Bill has always said, I don't think they were ready for the declaration. I don't think they adjusted to the declaration. So that concerns me, and that's always a Missoula concern, how he adjusts, how he deals with in-game, his gut versus sticking to his... But I also believe this. He can get away with sticking with his analytics because it's the NBA, because it's a seven-game series, and the analytics and the percentages should play out for the better team and the proper style that they believe is the proper style in a seven-game series. So, yeah, I'm big on this. I think the Celtics win this one going away.
Love the take. See, there, I can compliment my co-host on a good take just as quickly as he can jump all over me for a bad one. Andy, but perfect. I did want to jump. Great. That's why people love us. That's why the odd couple of Saturday afternoon sports radio rocks the mic as only we can. quick draft note before we go to commercial break and come back and just about finish up the show. Spencer Rattler is now officially off the board. He went 150, fifth round, pick number 150, Spencer Rattler, quarterback to the New Orleans Saints.
Interesting.
He'll get to sit for a year at least.
He could play and become the starter.
Yes, he easily could beat out Derek Carr. And don't forget, a couple years ago, Spencer Rattler, the same way Sam Howell was projected to be the top overall quarterback, then he falls to the third round. Now he finds himself falling so out of favor with the team that drafted him that he gets traded to Seattle. Spencer Rattler falls all the way to the fifth. There was a time a couple years ago, I remember seeing like the PFF mocks on Instagram. He was expected to be the top quarterback taken, and perhaps, I think when he was at Oklahoma, they were saying he's going to be the first overall player taken. And now he goes 150. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had there's been a lot going on there, but that's kind of how it works. You know, Alabama quarterbacks, like Oklahoma quarterbacks, this new age era of quarterbacks, winning jobs, Tua, Jalen Hurts, and everything that went down with him. And, for a period of time, Spencer Rattler was projected as a very, very high pick. And now he lands in a spot where I actually think that's a good place for him. In a dome, behind a non-established starter, he can probably sit for a little bit, but then have a very legitimate chance to compete and maybe win a job.
We'll be right back with a few more nuggets about the draft and so much more as we get close to wrapping up an action-packed, hot, fiery, feisty, and fantastic edition of Fitzy and Hart here on WEEI. Yes, sir, indeed. Taking care of business on a Saturday, talking sports, hanging out, and having fun. It's Fitzy and Hart here with you right up until a couple minutes after 3, at which point we'll take a quick break, pass things over to Bradfo. 3:10, the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show. 4:10, first pitch. Got to say, Andy, last night when I posted up at my local to watch some spots, Sox game was on. Obviously, the draft was on the majority of the TVs, and this tells you a lot on Cape Cod, no less, that the Sox are on one TV, the draft is on three TVs, and the rest is playoff hockey and playoff basketball. That Imanaga guy, the professor, I believe they call him, very much reminds me of like Japanese Barry Zito. That dude can pitch. Did you get a chance to check him out last night?
I saw
very impressive.
Highlights. Yeah, no, I was on the draft all night, but he's impressive. The Red Sox, though, I don't necessarily fault Bars for maybe not having a lot of TVs dedicated to the Red Sox in their season because, it is what it is.
Yes, indeed. It is what it is. I was actually just checking out some futures on my wagering app here on the phone during the break as well. Drake May, I know our friend Shime is in on him, in the player futures section. Do you know what he is for Offensive Rookie of the Year?
I do not.
Plus 2,200.
I don't hate it.
I don't know if he's going to get to play enough. Now, see,
I don't care. It's worth a swing.
Okay. Caleb Williams is like almost off the board. My word. He's at plus 200. Marvin Harrison Jr., plus 600. And then number three, I just put a little action on Jonathan James McCarthy, plus 800.
Yeah, I was intrigued. I was watching... I was watching the NFL Network panel, and I don't know who said it. It might have been Jeremiah. I don't want to hold him to it. One of them sort of definitively said, won't surprise me if J.J. McCarthy does not play early or at all this year.
Whoa, really?
That kind of flew in the face of the common narrative, like he's NFL ready. They're ready for him. They're ready to help him. They have, unlike the Patriots, they have left tackle, tight end, wide receivers. Like they are offensive-minded coach with an established system.
Yeah, plug and play ready. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I honestly thought for McCarthy that was the best scenario for him, to have the receiving core and the offense that Minnesota has.
Yeah,
that would have been ideal.
That's what pretty much everybody thinks, but I think it was Jeremiah said, don't be surprised if he doesn't play right away, if at all. And
may I ask who we believe will play quarterback for Minnesota? Because last year it was a mess. It was like, what was it, Kyle Allen?
They signed
Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, they have, and that was a guy that I know the Patriots at least kicked around the name and said, that guy still thinks he's a starter. He doesn't make sense for us. So I wonder if they gave him any, not promises, but like indications, no, you got a really good chance to start this year. This is your job for at least a little while kind of thing. And maybe that's why he's there. But yeah, that surprised me. The Caleb Williams makes a lot of sense because A, he's going to start, and B, we've talked about it. They have a pretty good cast around him. It like he has some tools to work with in his toolbox on that offense. And if he does his part, that Bears team should turn it around and have a competitive year. And he's going to get a lot of credit for success they have, obviously, offensively.
Yeah, the smart money would be. And now I'm sort of regretting my wager. I wonder if I can undo that.
I don't think that's how that works.
Well, sometimes you can you get a cash in option.
Yeah, you can cash out sometimes.
Cash out rather. So,
but don't. What did you wager on?
You know, just a couple million.
No. What did you wager on? Who?
JJ McCarthy.
Oh,
see, because what you were talking about. I love the setup. Good offensive
line. You
might
be right.
Offensive
line. If he goes in
coach,
and kicks ass in camp, then he'll win the job and he'll win the award.
You should absolutely beat out Sam Darnold. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Got
stick
Addison and Justin Jefferson, the Hawk, yeah. Even though the Hawk's coming off an ACL from the tight end factory of Iowa, I think he's going to be great.
Go with your gut instinct. Go with your first bet. You'll regret it if you don't.
And I'll probably regret it any which way, but that doesn't bother me.
You shouldn't gamble. If you can't deal with regret, then gambling's probably not the thing for you.
You know what? That was a great in-show PSA. I really appreciate that, Andy. And that's been one to grow on with Uncle Andy.
The more you know.
Exactly.
That's right.
Ba, 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 ba. Oh boy! All right. So your prediction for let's run through how we see everything shaking out the rest.
We're
of the
We doing the sports parlay, the whole thing. We're making predictions.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's do the. I'm going to put a few bucks on the Rich Keefe Show, Boston parlay. Revs, C's, B's, and Sox all to win. $10 pays you out over 125.
Wait, it's but delicious. Aren't the Revs playing Messi? Isn't he good?
Yeah, I think this Lionel Messi guy is pretty good. You're not going to be able to see it, though, of course, unless you're there. Side note, if anyone is actually currently at Gillette Stadium or on your way and you're listening, we're going to be on the air for about 7 more minutes. I would love to hear if anyone is actually at Gillette right now, what the scene is like, because I bet that place is popping. I bet
is it
that
sold
is
out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you can't get a ticket. This is like the toughest ticket in town.
Wow, that's
this will be more energetic. Well, until Drake May starts, and then he throws a bomb to Javon Baker.
So 30,000 people show up for Belichick's last game, and 68,000 show up for Messi's first.
Okay, Andy, I would also like to point out that the weather that day, my cheeks have not recovered from that day. It was
Foxborough fraudulence.
And where were you, handsome?
I sent my...
And you sent your son to do your dirty work, huh?
Yeah.
What a
coward. Hearts were represented. The
what
hearts
a coward.
Were represented. We showed our respects to Bill Belichick.
How dare you?
We people.
Yeah, we people.
We people showed our respects to the greatest
hypocrisy,
coach in
thy name is Andrew.
Let's pick them all. Let's make predictions.
Okay.
I like this idea.
4-10, Sox, Cubs. No idea who's starting for either of them. Let's go Sox.
It's going to be Josh Winkowski for the Sox.
He's money in the bank.
And Ben Brown for the Cubs.
The Cubs.
What's that? You're going with the Cubs?
Yeah, why not?
Hang up on him.
I mean, the Red Sox are a 50-50 proposition, right? They're 14-13, so...
Yep.
Yeah, give me the Cubs.
All right, you go Cubs, I'll go Sox. Next, 6 o'clock, 10.5-point favorites in Miami at, I think, formerly Crypto Arena, whatever they call it now.
It's the American Airlines Center to me.
It'll always be, I still call it Shea. Thank you very much, Joe. 10.5 points for the Celtics. They were 14.5-point favorites last game. They were home. They got smoked. And now...
They didn't get smoked for a team that actually shot the lights out. They were in that game late, and if they could have hit their own three here or there, that was a dogfight. So I'm going the other way. I think the Celtics blow doors. I think they win this by triple digits.
Wouldn't that be great? You know, I'm going to be posting up tonight at West End Johnny's. Obviously, I'll be there by 8 o'clock for the watch party. Thank you to our friends at Jameson here at, of course, WEEI for putting on tonight's very special event. I'm going to get there early because I want to watch the second half of the Celtics, and I'm hoping that the Celtics do blow doors, because then we're all going to get the puffy chests and we're all going to be feeling really good. We hopefully ride that momentum of the Celtics kicking ass, the C's taking names, chewing bubblegum and kicking ass and being all out of bubblegum right into the Bruins, at which point, Andy, I'm with you. Celtics win, Celtics cover tonight. Bruins, Leafs, puck and a half favorite over
the
Bruins tonight.
I don't like it. I like the Bruins to Swayman starts, according to my guy Rich Keefe. I think Swayman wins. I think Bruins take full control of this series. And I'm adding something. You're going down to see Fitzy at this watch party. Fitzy is going to do a pickleback shot for every Boston win. So if the Bruins win, if the Celtics win, if the Revs win, and if they already Patriots already won the draft thanks to the Javon Baker pick, so you got to do a pickleback shot as soon as you get there.
So I probably should take an Uber.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Well, unless you have no faith in your Boston sports teams. I mean, if they all lose, you don't have to do any shots.
Trying to paint me into a corner as a fraud,
yep.
huh?
Yep, yep.
As a bandwagon fair-weather fan, huh?
Pickleback.
Give you a pickleback.
Excuse me?
Pardon me? Excuse me?
Nope. I'd prefer not.
All right. Like I said earlier, Bruins with the win tonight. See, I don't know why. For some
Toronto's
reason.
Toronto's spirits got broken last game.
Yeah.
I think they're all out of sorts.
I know, but maybe they get a little boost with Nylander
coming back.
They also
have a great player, though.
Yeah, Austin Matthews is also
awesome.
Phenomenal.
Did you see what
he didn't score 69 goals by accident.
When he had that breakaway where he took the puck out of the air, dropped it, and then had the breakaway, Ullmark literally had no idea where the puck was. He was going left, and the puck was going the other way.
Yeah, it's like when a goalie like overcommits on a penalty kick and jumps to the left corner, and the guy's like, I just dribbled it over to the right. Like, what do you
mean? Yep. That was so. Now, I sort of agree with Braverman. I think the Bruins are going to control this game and control this series.
Wouldn't that be great?
Someone agrees with me on something. Well,
and it may be wishful thinking. It may be me and my optimistic post-Drake May drafted by the Patriots state. So anything I say, take it with a grain of salt.
Ooh, 978 texter. Good job, Rich Keefe. Keefe had it first, old Scoops Keefe, and now Fluto Shinzawa seems to be backing up Keefe's sneaky take. How about that?
Did he say at Rich Keefe had it first?
I don't know. I'm busy hosting a show right now. Maybe
those hockey snobs.
Let me see if Braverman or Javon in the other room can look that up for me. See what Fluto Shinzawa is tweeting. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And finally, big game. Sold out Gillette. Perhaps the most buzz outside of, I know there'll be more people tonight at Gillette Stadium than there will be for Tom Brady night because they're putting up a temporary stage for the whole entire shebang down there. So they'll still have a pretty full stadium, but it won't be the full cap that they can have tonight. Sold out Gillette, all the buzz, the world's most famous football player, Lionel Messi coming in with, is it Inter Miami or is it Miami AC? It's Inter Miami.
Inter Miami CF.
Inter Miami CF.
What does that mean?
Club of football.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, sorry, I flipped it. Football club.
I thought it was FC.
Inter-Miami
That's why
FC.
I was asking.
All right,
That's why I was
take
asking.
A lap, Braverman. Tell Javon to finish the show up.
CF.
It is CF. FC. Inter Miami FC against the New England Revolution. Miami should win this by about set. Do we have a propositional anywhere on how many goals Messi gets? And if he does score one, that place, all 65,000, 63,000, whatever it is, will be absolutely popping. I bet that parking lot is going to be a scene by 5:30, Andy.
He'll score. He'll win. I feel like this MLS, when they get these stars like Messi, it's almost like when I went to Monster Jam and Gravedigger always wins. It's like, this feels rigged. This feels like a WWE production.
Wait a second. The Globetrotters are winning again against the Generals?
Right. I bet you Messi scores. I bet you the crowd at Gillette goes home happy. And by happy, I mean they saw one of the greatest of all time perform in front of them and score. So give me the Messis to win and cover no matter how many goals.
The over-under is 3.5 right now.
It's 3.5?
3.5 goals for Messi?
No, and in the match.
Oh.
3.5 goals for Messi. Good Lord.
Seemed like a lot.
Boy, it is really difficult to find. You got to go way down on your wagering app to find.
There's a reason for
that. It's not easy. I got to tell you, honestly, it is not easy to find. It's easier to find UFL. I can put more money on the Battlehawks than I can on Inter Miami, for God's sake.
There's a reason for that.
Andy, I got to say, honestly, one of my favorite shows we've done. Dynamite. Absolutely terrific. Didn't even have a guest. Nothing special, flashy, expensive, not much fanfare or anything. It was just
substance.
Two guys talking sports for 3 hours on a Saturday. Great job by Jacob, a.k.a. Javon, Joe Braverman. Nobody does it better. Stiz with his creepy comments about Drake May's girlfriend. And, of course, your old pals Fitzy and Hart. We'll be back Monday with our Draftermath recap Six Rings podcast. I'll be on the Rich Keefe Show Monday night. Andy on Thursday. Have a great night. Let's go Revs, let's go Bees, let's go C, let's go Sox, and let's go Pats. Take care, everybody.
See ya.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.